So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin has a higher suicide rate than the national average. In 2018, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, one person died of suicide every 9 hours in Wisconsin. Suicide was the second leading cause of death for those ages 15 through 34. But the suicide rate was highest for those ages 45 to 54. Stats like these prompted the Assembly to form an Assembly Task Force on Suicide Prevention. I want to thank the chair of that, GOP Rep. Joan Baldwig of Marcosan, who represents the 41st District, and the co-chair, Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Analaska, who represents the 94th, from coming in to talk about the panel's recommendations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, you had, thank you. I read the report. You had like six or seven hearings. Over the course of that, just a general question. The biggest lessons learned for you, the biggest takeaways?
Well, the six hearings we had, first of all, we were tasked to find out what the landscape was, what's happening in Wisconsin. And what we did find out in traveling around the state was that there's a lot of good work going on, but it's very siloed. There probably is ways that folks can collaborate better, really good practices around the state, but let's figure out how to make sure we're all working together and make sure that we can normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide so that it's not kept in kind of in the background, and make sure people are aware that they can get treatment.
Thank you. Your biggest takeaway?
Suicide affects every age group, every demographic group, every geographic area. It was really shattering to watch some of the people testify. You get a tough guy farmer, a tough guy law enforcement officer telling you things that, I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about. And I just give them so much credit that they were willing to come forth in public and say, this is an issue, and we need to deal with it, and here's how it affected me. I can't thank them enough for being willing to share that kind of information, and learning that you really need to meet people where they are. It's better for a veteran to talk to a veteran, a police officer to talk to a police officer, a young person to talk to a young person. That was my biggest takeaway, is that it's out there. We don't necessarily talk a lot about it. It's getting better, but we still need to do a lot more talking about it.
We're going to get to the 9 recommendations by your task force. But to do that, let's kind of lay the groundwork with some basic overview stats on suicide in Wisconsin. First of all, let's look at the suicide rates. Now, they were down slightly, 2017 to 2018, a drop of 5%. But since you heard the testimony, any reasons for the 24% increase between 2008 and 2017? Did you hear any reasons, any PSs on these stats, either of you?
I don't know. There were specifically reasons for those increases. There's a lot of different means that people are using. Relationships, we heard in many cases, were some of the main reasons. But every different demographic had different reasons that they were coming to these conclusions where individuals were taking their lives.
Were you surprised 24% increase between 08 and 17, Representative?
That's one of the reasons we were doing the task force, because we knew that this was something we had to get our hands around.
Any PS on that?
The other important thing to recognize with these statistics is this is our best guess.
Thank you.
Some of what this could be is better reporting, because so often we've heard that, you know, if it's a small town and somebody, you know, dies by suicide, you don't want to embarrass the family, so you list accident. You know, so we don't know exactly what the numbers are. We're hoping that this task force gets us better information in that regard, but these are just the best guess.
The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is the one that gave me the number on the 5% drop down to 866 in 2018. I know the State Department of Health is going to be issuing a very detailed report in November. So any thoughts on why we had a drop? Are some of these programs working, or is this could be just a one-year aberration?
I think we have been making some strides in Wisconsin when it comes to behavioral health. There has been investment since the actually the mental health task force that was held in the 13-14 session. We've been putting money into school mental health, CIT officers for law enforcement. So we have been making some strides. This task force is really trying to dive in. As Representative Doyle says, we probably don't know the true numbers.
Another very interesting graphic that I want to show, it comes from the Department of Health Services. 78% of those who successfully committed suicide, tragically, were male. 22% male. But then you have the flip on the numbers. The 61% of individuals who were hospitalized with self-harm injuries were female in 2017. Thoughts on that disparity?
Very sadly, it's because men are more successful. Men tend to use firearms, and they don't miss. Women tend to use other means that sometimes you catch them before it's too late. But I think that's the biggest explanation.
Anything on those numbers, Representative?
Well, exactly that. We do need to just not focus on those who do take their lives by suicide, but all those who actually attempted, because that is also something that's very impactful to their families and their communities also.
Okay. Let's talk about the method of suicide. Again, this is from the State Department of Health Services. The number is for 2017. Actually, it's for a period 2013 through 2017. 49% by firearms, 27% suffocation, 16% poisoning, other 8%. You know, the governor, the attorney general, are pushing for both red flag and universal background checks. Was that not the purview of the task force, Representative?
Well, it could have been, but of course the purpose of the task force was to come up with bipartisan initiatives. So we have 9 that we're moving forward with in bills that are truly bipartisan. Mm-hmm. Those other issues are still out there. They have been bills that have been introduced. One of the things that we have done, and we'll get to those bills a little bit later, is the gun shop project, which does address some of those same concerns.
Okay. The governor and the attorney general's recommendations are not part of it. Are you okay with that?
Well, we went into this knowing that probably 95% of what we were going to be talking about was going to be bipartisan, no disagreement whatsoever. We knew also that the issue of guns was going to probably be a partisan divide, and it turned out to be that way. The governor has talked about a special session on that issue. Some of the Democrats have issued a minority report on our task force. You know, it's an issue that is going to be talked about.
Okay. The next one, as we lay the foundation to get to your recommendations, suicide rate by county. I've got to be honest, this fascinated me. All but one of the counties with the highest suicide rate in the period 2013 through 2017, north of Highway 10. And as you say, one county with the highest rate is in your district. Why northern Wisconsin higher suicide rates?
This is standard for the nation. Actually, the western United States has higher rates than the eastern. Urban, all across the United States, has higher rates than urban. Some of it is probably because those professionals aren't there. Some of it is probably because of the occupations of those individuals, farmers, ranchers, lumbermen, people that feel they're more self-reliant. So they're trying to take care of things themselves. They, not so much, they don't have the access, but they don't ask for the help.
And which of your counties in your district is unfortunately part of the
higher
Marquette rate?
Marquette County is one of the highest rates, yes.
Okay. Any theories on that local?
Well, it is a very small county, so a couple incidents does make that rate higher, but it follows that pattern of rural, independent, mostly farmers who are not looking to seek help. That's one of the things we're trying to talk about, that there is help by hearing from those individuals in those occupations speak out, telling their fellow farmers or law enforcement folks that they should be asking for help.
Representative, the tragically higher incident rates in northern Wisconsin, surprise to you? Reasons why?
No, I agree exactly with what Representative Ballweg said, and that's a tough nut to crack because, as I said in the beginning, you know, it's not just getting mental health services up there, it's getting the appropriate. You know, so if you're a small county, you don't have a big budget, so you can't have a specific hotline for veterans and one for law enforcement and mm-hmm. one for farmers. You know, it's more generic. And so we're trying to use technology to try to reach into those areas of the state that are underserved by the exact folks that could be the most help.
There was a lot of discussion before we get to the specific recommendations. The suicide in farmers. Did your experts that you heard from point to an increase? These are very painful as we lose more and more dairy farms. Link between the failing, the down rural ag economy in Wisconsin and suicide?
Oops, I think there was. There's been examples of a veteran who's now farming, who is divorced and has financial problems on the farm. So in many cases, it's not just one thing, it's a group of things. And that's why I think we've seen the support in the Farm Center that does a lot of different things to help folks navigate, whether it's financial issues, mental health issues, or family issues, succession planning, things like that.
Well, and just another stat from the Department of Health Services we don't have a graphic for, but their latest report, 1 out of 5 individuals who died by suicide was a veteran. Why?
Life experience. The things that you faced when you were in the service are with you for life. That's why, we talk about things like PTSD and specific services where veterans can talk to other veterans who understand where they're coming from. That I'm not a veteran. I wouldn't be the right person to try to provide comfort to somebody who has, flashbacks or just had a bad experience in the service. We need to find people where they are, and we need to talk to them. We need to offer them the services.
Okay, now let's get to the heart of what you're recommending, and I'm going to ask you for an update on how soon these recommendations might pass the Assembly and Senate. LRB 3871, $250,000 a year to DHS for prevention programs and to hire a suicide prevention director plus one other staffer. Does this refer to what you said earlier, that local governments, local organizations are doing all they can, mm-hmm. but we need a central focus?
And I think this is more the flagship of what we've come up with the task force, and Representative Doyle and I are going to be the champions for this particular bill. Department of Health Services is already doing and tasked with certain things that they need to do reporting-wise. But what we're looking for in this suicide prevention director and mm-hmm. staff is that they can push out best practices. They can recommend those referral cards for counties, for CIT officers. They can manage some of the grants that we're talking about here and just try to get all the other agencies to work together and see if they can partner on some of these hotlines that could be dedicated round the clock for veterans or farmers, in addition to what they're already supporting through the hotline.
Do you think there'd be any, now you still serve on the county board, don't you?
Right, in La Crosse.
In La Crosse. Do you think there'd be any pushback from organizations who are saying, we've been pretty effective in our programs and we don't need state government coming in and telling us how to run it?
Well, La Crosse is really lucky. We have 2 medical facilities and 3 higher education institutions, so things work really well in La Crosse. I don't think you're going to have anybody say, stay away. Okay. What we heard at every hearing was the same thing, is there's so many people, so many groups doing so many good things, but they aren't necessarily understanding what somebody else nearby is doing, and they would like to have somebody just serve as a traffic cop. It's not Big Brother coming in saying, you must do this. It's more somebody saying, hey, here's what's happening over here, here's what's happening over here, and allowing people to work together as opposed to forcing them to work together.
Okay, so this would be a state coordinator, and the authority would be vested in the Department of Health Services.
Absolutely.
And the buck stops at the new state director of suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. LRB 3872, $250,000 a year for grants to local governments and groups for prevention programs. Now, when I read the report, this could go to nonprofits and local governments. Can you talk about this provision?
It could go to regional coalitions also. We've heard about that.
Are they already
out
there?
Some of them are already out
there.
And some of them are trying to do something with their local In Adams County, they have someone in the local health department, public health department, that is doing this, but actually the work they end up doing is through donations and volunteers. So with a little bit more money through a grant program, they would have better capability to raise awareness, provide materials, maybe get those resource cards out to their caseworkers or their crisis intervention team workers through the county and through local law enforcement.
Any examples from your region of the state, Representative?
Well, coming out of local government, I've always been big on these programs because you might have an idea in La Crosse that, you know, you don't have enough money to get it going, but if it works, then people in other counties can find out about it and do the same thing, or whether it's Adams County or up in Superior or down in Kenosha. You know, so we don't necessarily have examples right now of what is going to go statewide, but let's give some seed money to these different ideas and let's see what works.
Okay. LRB 4241, $75,000 a year to provide training and materials to organizations, including staff or workers at firing ranges or firearm retailers. I guess my first question is, if I work at a firing range or if I'm, I work at Cabela's or other gun-selling retailers, do I get none of this training now in how to look for someone who might be on the edge emotionally?
No, you don't. And so actually Representative James, who is the retired police chief,
yes, Jesse James,
for
yes.
Altoona, is going to be championing this particular one with Representative Melissa Sargent. And so the idea is that you provide grants for the training. The Gunshot Project is a national project, a national organization to provide training for those owners and clerks at gun shops so they understand the cues, the comments that people might make if they seem to be only interested in that weapon for a particular instance. We also want to make sure that gun shops make themselves available, if at all possible, to hold weapons. Many of our law enforcement agencies will do this now on a voluntary basis. There are some gun shops that will have a safe in their location where someone can come in and keep that weapon there for safe storage. Perhaps a friend or family member wants to get a weapon out of the reach of someone who might have suicidal ideations.
Can you see this recommendation working in Western Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. The nice thing about this is it's voluntary. It's not the government taking your weapons away. This is, you know, a family member, or even maybe the person himself or herself saying, you know, this gun shouldn't be in the house right now. I don't know where else to put it. The gun shop place can say, hey, we've got a place here. It'll be safe. It'll be secure. Won't cost a lot of money, you know, some minimal type of expense for administrative costs for the most part. I think this is one of the best things that we're doing.
LRB 4373, $250,000 a year to DPI, Department of Public Instruction, to fund peer-to-peer prevention programs in schools. This intrigues me. All level of schools, elementary, middle, high school, higher education?
This is directed at high schools right now, but a dedicated fund for a grant. What we heard in talking with the youth that came to testify and the screening of the documentary we saw, they saw that as the main way to help each other. Statistics show that, as was mentioned before, peers will talk to peers, youth will talk to youth before they'll talk to a parent, a counselor, a teacher, something like that. So there are evidence-based programs around the nation that we're hoping that schools will use this incentive grant to bring into their local schools, provide those suicide prevention week programs, and have students trained so that they can be the ones that people can talk to and have the understanding of how to question and refer someone if they're in need of counseling.
Did local school administrators, principals, and teachers tell you they need this?
We've heard from them, but more importantly, we've heard from the students themselves. I mean, for most people, if you look back on your high school years, that was one of the most difficult times in your life, whether it's social acceptance or bullying or pressure for grades and so forth. And to have somebody who is going through the same thing and can relate to you is so much more effective to deal with these issues. And so, you know, Joan referenced the documentary that we watched. That was really powerful. Those kids were inspiring.
LRB 4247, $55,000 a year for tuition for low-income farmers who take technical college courses in farm or business management. This gets into the painful area of farmers who are on the tough end of pricing. And how big of a difference do you think this could make?
I think this is going to be good in two ways, not only to help those low-income farmers figure out what their path is, but also to get them trained up so that they can maybe do a better job when it comes to the business side of farming, because that is a big part of it. It is a business. This is a program that was in effect some years ago and has kind of faded away. So we're hoping that with this tuition assistance for programs that are already in five or six of our technical colleges currently, they can get on board and work at this to make some decisions about what they're doing with either managing, succession planning, you know, what the future is going to be of their farm.
Well, you must have heard some testimony that broke your heart from farmers on the verge of going bankrupt now, giving the prices that they're not getting. I mean, you just must have, I know your family business is in farming and ag. You must have just heard some testimony that broke your heart.
It was really powerful. I mean, people that were not the touchy-feely folks that you would expect to hear from. I mean, some very stoic folks coming forward. But, you know, these programs, the key to it is that whole issue of hope. You know, if you feel that things are hopeless, because you don't know what the future is going to be like, that's when you're most susceptible to suicide. So these programs will give people hope that, hey, I can make this work out, or it's not going to work out, but here's how I can rationally and hopefully calmly extract myself from this situation. You know, so education is a part of hope.
Well, and LRB 4178, require prevention information and hotline numbers on student IDs. My granddaughter, who's going to be a junior at Waukesha West, conceivably next school year, would get with her student ID a list of hotlines?
Exactly. This was actually an idea that came from Wausau. They had an incident there, and it's something that they're doing right now. So we are suggesting that the hotline number goes on it, and whatever other number is reasonable, whether it's the text number, whether it's a local number, make sure that it's all part of normalizing the conversation about getting help in a behavioral health situation, whether it be suicide or someone struggling from any other issues.
That's quite a stark thing to put on a middle school ID, isn't it, Representative?
It is, but you know, the interesting thing about this is you talk to people in the best way that they talk. So, you know, for me, if I needed to work something out, I would want to talk maybe person to person or on the phone. If you are that age, you might be a texting person. So your best benefit is going to be from having a professional at the other end who's texting back and forth with you. Never occurred to me, being an old guy like I am, but hearing from young people that, no, this makes more sense for us, that was eye-opening.
Now, there were three other bills that are recommended. Can you quickly summarize those? An interim license, and there's wish list and continuing ed, please.
So the interim license would be for psychologists. Right now, there's a concern that before someone can practice, we require too many hours. So in order to get the number of folks out there available to be able to counsel an interim license. One of the other things we heard is that our behavioral health professionals and our primary care professionals don't have background in suicide prevention and behavioral health. So we're asking that they have some, as part of their regular continuing education, that they take some of the suicide prevention keys. The research says that about 45% of all folks that take their lives by suicide have seen their primary care physician just before they took their lives. They so let
25%?
45%.
I'm sorry, thanks for
yes,
the correction.
45%
have
yes.
seen a medical professional.
Yes. So let's get them more in tune to understanding those cues, just like we do with the gunshot project or anything else, to get people into the next phase of treatment. And then the WISH Center, this is money that is going to the DPI, but we already have, through our CESAs, four professionals that go out and train our local school districts, pupil services folks. But there's only four of them around the state. So what we're saying is fund two more, so we at least get that number up to six, so that our schools can be integrated into what can be helpful.
These other three bills, any of them strike you as most potentially helpful, Representative?
I think the one related to continuing education for the professionals, because this is suicide prevention, and the best way to prevent is to get the cues ahead of time and know what you're looking for, know who's most at risk. You know, when we go in for our annual physical, they ask you questions like, you know, have you considered suicide? Do you feel safe at home? And, and so forth. And this is a step beyond that, where somebody may just say something a little bit odd that you or I might not pick up on, but somebody who's had some special training might realize that, oh, that's a cue that I need to follow up on. So that's the kind of thing that they're already seeing these professionals. Let's give them a little bit more equipment to deal with those situations.
Okay. Where do these stand, these recommendations now? Can you talk about the process? Your task force has formally recommended them. That puts them in the hands of, have they been part of the process?
So they have gone out for co-sponsorship over the last week or so. They are now ready for introduction into the legislature. So we're asking for the legislature to have them assigned to committees that we can get right on them and hopefully have them go through the legislature yet this year.
Starting in the assembly with the November session?
And we do have Senate leads for these also, so hopefully we'll be working on them jointly in both houses.
This is the Speaker's task force, so we have him behind us to help move the process along, so that's good.
Any serious questions being raised about any of the nine bills?
Nothing that I've heard.
I have not heard any. No. I would hope that these are the kind of bills that can pass unanimously and quickly.
And we had very good numbers on the co-sponsorships for all of them.
I think the gunshot bill was like half the assembly is on it, I think.
Well, I think we had in the area of 40 co-sponsorships in the assembly for some of these bills, which is much higher than average.
Right.
Well, a final question. You heard an awful lot of testimony at your six public hearings. One local program must have struck you as working very effectively. Can you recall any?
Well, I do appreciate what they did in Monroe County, especially, that they have really taken hold of doing something special when it comes to suicide prevention. And actually, we got information. They testified for us, and they also provided us some of the background information that will be going into some of the language for the grant programs for local communities.
So you want to give a shout out to Monroe County? Any program that stands out?
Well, I'll make two comments. One is, I think the peer-to-peer programming that we've heard from schools in various locations, those really strike me as effective. But in La Crosse, our medical examiner talked about the fact that we aren't getting the information that we need because things aren't consistent. So something as simple of a change as having uniform death reporting forms so that if this county calls it a suicide and this county calls it undetermined, you know, that we understand, you know, what we're talking about here. I mean, that to me is kind of the essence of what we can accomplish here by having the state director. Get everybody on the same page, talking the same language. To me, if we get that accomplished, it's a step in the right direction.
Wow, big step, big potential steps. I want to thank the chair and co-chairs of the Assembly Task Force on Suicide Prevention, Representative Joan Ballrig of Marquezan 51st District. Did I get that right?
41st
District. And 94th District.
94th.
See, I'm 0 for 2. 94th District. Democratic Representative Steve Doyle, thank you so much for this important update.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.